Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, Nick Mason.
It's great to be here.
It is, isn't it?
It's a beautiful day.
It's a bit of a beautiful day. Is it a beautiful day to talk about Disclosure Day?
Oh, we're just ending the musical bit. We're not going to be talking.
I was never on board with that, and I don't want to do it.
You tricked me.
I don't want you to do it, and I don't
want to
do it.
You tricked me with a slight lilt, James, that this was going to be our famous musical episode.
Let me tell you, wasn't the first time, and it won't be the last.
Wow.
Yeah. Disclosure.
This day sucks.
No, it's Disclosure Day.
Oh.
Which is good and big.
I think it's good and big.
And relevant and important.
Yeah.
And people would care.
Does Steven Spielberg believe in aliens?
Yeah, big time. Huh. He fucking loves aliens. He freaking loves aliens the time.
Okay. Mm. He's not just putting it on.
For who?
I don't know, man. Isn't he a big time showman?
I mean, one was Close Encounters, like 78 or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So, I should double check that, and I will. I wanted to watch it this week because I had to see it earlier to record this. I didn't get a chance. So, but I probably won't.
So Disclosure Day this week.
77. What's
next week? In the Grey? Guy Ritchie's In the Grey?
I think it's on streaming already.
I don't think it is.
Really? I don't even think
I think it's in the taint region where it's not available in cinemas anymore, but it's not on
streaming. We're going to talk about what we're going to talk about next week a bit later.
Is it something animated?
It's something animated.
I already know what it is.
Great. I can't wait to tell you about that. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about some leaked Spider-Man trailers and footage, Mason.
Oh,
this time codes below if you want to jump
to anything. Isn't that illegal?
To talk about it?
Yes.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. Mm. We're going to talk about 24 Jump Street news.
Oh, yes.
Do I have to see Jump Street number 1 to 23, though, Mason?
No.
Okay.
No, James. That's not what the number's referring to.
So I don't have to see those movies?
For the most part, they don't exist. Some of those movies exist.
Yeah.
And most of the ones you're referring to, in what I can only assume is a joke, do not exist.
Okay, but there is a TV show starring Jonathan Depp.
That is correct.
And Richard Grieco.
And Richard Grieco's spin-off, which I think was called, what was it called?
Greek's
Grieco.
Life.
Grieco on the roof.
Okay.
What was it called? Booker.
Yeah.
On the roof.
We're going to talk.
Booker's on the roof, folks.
We're going to talk about Doctor Who taking a really big hiatus. Like it's cancelled.
Almost like it is.
But it's just a really big hiatus for many years.
Have they used the term hiatus or have they said something else?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Is it a resting
period?
I
think it might be a resting period. We're going to talk about some Paramount merger updates because you know how they're buying Warner Brothers probably. There's some things
that's
in the
terrific.
Way though. It is terrific. We're also going to talk about trailers. But this week we've got The Social Reckoning, we've got Whale Fall, and we've got Italian Cats Mucking About.
I think you'll find it's called Whale Fail.
Whale Fail.
Hashtag Whale Fail. If we can get that going. Before it comes out.
But is the whale failing or are you doing a whale fail?
The guy, I think, is doing a whale fail.
Oh,
it's a big time whale
fail. Oh, okay. Sorry. The podcast starts and I get like 9 texts. People are like, do you want to come and watch the World Cup at my house? It's 5 a.m. No.
Wow.
What are you talking about?
This sounds like you're faking that you have a lot of friendships.
I don't. That's
podcast.
My point, Mason. I don't have a lot of friendships. I maintain very few of them on purpose so I can maintain an online persona.
That's right.
You know that.
I do know that. So what are these guys up to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not even very charismatic. Why would you want to hang out with me? It's stupid.
You always want to leave.
Exactly.
As soon as you get anywhere, you want to leave. But maybe that's it. Maybe they're like, I need an excuse to leave.
Yeah.
And I can't be the first one to leave. I need a guy by my side.
A guy on the inside.
A reliable guy who's going to leave first, who doesn't care that he's breaking the social contract by leaving 43 minutes after he got there.
Before he gets there.
And then I can be the one. Well, if he's going, I actually also have to go. So, you know.
Yeah.
And then they leave in the wake of you.
That's a good point. So in a way, I'm a trendsetter.
Yeah.
And unpleasant to be around.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm happy with that. Mm. There's time codes below. Rob Collings, he edits this, doesn't he?
You're like some sort of World War II.
No, he doesn't, I guess.
I don't know, a buoy or something?
Oh, a buoy.
Some sort of thing, you know?
Like a canary?
Yeah.
In a coal? No, it's not really that,
no,
is
it? I'm workshopping it. But you're like that, you know, like a buoy and you make a sound like you're a ship or something? Exactly.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
I guess I am like that. Rob Collings, not Tom Collings.
Love that guy.
Tom Collins is a drink.
Yes.
Rob Collins.
Tom Collins? Don't know who that is.
Rob Collins edits this podcast. He does a hell of a job and he does the time codes.
He does the time codes
you
so
can
good.
Check him out below. Let's start with this. So on X, which is still an app that you love and frequent.
I call it Twitter.
And yet
though.
You couldn't find this.
Yeah. I'm not good at Twitter like you're good at Twitter.
I'm not even on Twitter. I use the Twitter browser function because I don't even have the app, Mason.
Oh, wow.
This new Spider-Man trailer, which is supposed to be out the week of the, what is it? It would be the week of the 15th.
Okay, so next week.
Yeah, it's leaked. This week by the time
it's coming
out.
Yeah.
It leaked in its entirety, it seems, with a few unfinished special effects. There are...
I mean, that movie is coming out in like a month, so...
Yeah.
No wonder some of the effects are not finished. Why would you finish them
You don't
now?
Even need to finish special effects. Yeah. It's not important.
Just release the whole movie now unfinished. Well, it's an unfinished edition.
I mean, it's happened before. It happened to Wolverine X-Men Origins and also one of the Expendables.
Absolutely.
So potential spoiler, I guess, for that trailer and the movie if you don't really know anything. But if you have checked that trailer out, which we haven't because it's illegal to talk about it or see it.
But we're going
to
guess.
There's a lot more Hulk happening in it.
Mm-hmm.
A big Hulk clap.
What seems to be the Grey Hulk? Unless just unfinished visual effects.
It might be unfinished visual effects, but yeah.
They put the green in last.
Oh.
Kevin Feige comes in and he's got his little eyedropper of green and he pops it in right before the movie premieres.
I feel like all the merch is green. But well, I don't know. I mean, we could have multiple Hulks.
Maybe they're maybe it's color changing merch.
I don't care for Grey Hulk.
Okay.
It's dull. It's washed out. Grey, as we know, as a color, it benefits some greatly.
Yeah, sure.
But others, not so much.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe you know, he's New York gray, you know?
New York gray.
He's finally fitting in.
Maybe he's that dull MCU gray color they use to color grade all the movies.
Airport gray.
Airport gray. We also get more of the Scorpion getting absolutely battered about by Spider-Man.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's that much of a threat,
honestly. No, because he picks him up by his tail and smashes him into a car.
Which is what any one of us would do, you know? That's a handy tip for life. If you're being attacked by the Scorpion, simply use his tail against him.
Yes.
He thinks that's his greatest strength.
No.
Use it against him.
It's just dangling around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Defeat him Aikido style.
Yes.
Use the tail against him.
Use his momentum.
You know? Do you stick it in a bus?
Yep.
He gets dragged down the road.
Off he goes.
That's right.
And he has to pay a fine.
Yeah, for not paying.
So I'm assuming there'd be a click down helmet where he's like, "Remember me, Spider-Man," and then the helmet comes back down.
And you'd be like, "No,
no,
I've beaten up so many men,
dude.
Are you Captain America? No, huh? All right, well then I don't know."
He's got another group going off. It's a gang of men that I know that go for bushwalks. I mean,
gang of men,
a gang of men, hoodlums,
the Kelly Gang.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Okay.
What's
notorious bushrangers, the Kelly Gang.
They call themselves the Reckless Kelly Gang, but yes.
Okay, so they've got bins on their heads.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
So I'm in that group as well. I've never done a bushwalk with them, but you know, I'm in the group.
Hope springs eternal for those guys.
I completely agree.
Is there one guy? Is there one guy spearheading the charge to get
you
there?
Yeah. It's Ned Kelly.
Because he wants you to leave. He wants to leave early so he can go to the Glen Rowan pub and get shot to death or whatever happened to that guy.
Yeah, something like that.
Didn't he get arrested? He got arrested.
He got shot.
They shot him in the legs.
In the legs and then he got hung. And his last words were, yeah, okay. All right, if you want.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for a mate, he said. Those were his famous last words. And Australians have been saying though that for hundreds of years now.
They have. Mm. There's more kind of details on Spider-Man's next mutation.
Mm.
He's got some kind of sinister persona taking over organic web shootings. And
Which we knew
yeah.
from the previous trailer, I guess. They were implied in the previous trailer. But in this, like his very noticeable mechanical web shooters are flying off.
Yeah.
So he can use his regular
his
webs.
His real ones.
His organic webs.
He's got the black eyes piece.
Yeah.
There's more of whoever that Jean Grey villain is.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Who's probably a Jean Grey type.
She
mutant.
Can do some Professor X in X-Men 2, kind of
but
stunning
a
whole
time?
Crowd. No, but she's at one point, there's that sort of wave and she kind of stuns everybody in the city somehow.
Was that in the one we just watched?
Yes.
Oh, wow. There's more
I thought you were good at X, the Everything app. Turns out you're not.
I'm not good at it. I'm only good at the browser.
Yeah.
And more Punisher stuff. He's not just at the start. He's going to be throughout it.
Mm. Spider-Man's going to have to hole up in one of Frank's safe houses.
God, Mason, we were doing great Frank Castle impersonations as we were watching, but now I can't remember how we were doing them.
Something about New York?
Yeah.
And
I have to hear the voice and then
do it. Let me tell you something, Spider-Man. No, I can't do
it. I'm Frank Castle.
I'm Frank Castle. There it is.
Yeah. It was better than that, though.
Yeah.
Just
so
people know.
Mm.
What's interesting about this is, though, this is the non-spoiler part now. This stuff keeps happening, like these major leaks.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's talk about, like, is this like a forced virality thing when the leaks happened for Andrew Garfield in the last Spider-Man movie or
whatever? Having thought about it for mere minutes, I've come to a wise conclusion.
Mm.
I don't think it is because I think if they were going to leak a trailer like this, this one has a big red X over the top.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite difficult to discern what's going on.
There's also other stuff that has leaked as well. It's not just that.
I think that if Marvel were going to leak one of these on purpose and make it look if it's been leaked, they would tweak it a little bit so it doesn't look.
But it is Sony.
Oh, you're Sony are bad at everything, aren't
yeah.
they? Yeah. I think Marvel would remove the X, so you're like, oh, it's a little bit grainy, but I can clearly see what's happening kind of thing.
You could see if someone stops a crowd or whatever. Some people can't see that.
Some people can't see that.
Yeah. But what I think it is because they keep outsourcing VFX to various companies and, you know, a lot of that stuff isn't happening in-house anymore because they fired a lot of the team that works on these. Mm-hmm.
And
so
every,
I think there's just more gaps.
And every team, every new company has somebody on board who's either like, yeah, I'll leak this. I'll be famous, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that could happen to me?
Be famous?
Fired and sued and go to prison or whatever.
I love being famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they show their friend or whatever and their friend screens it on their phone or whatever.
Exactly. So. Let me just check if I know you want to know if In the Grey is still showing.
I do want to know that.
Power Ballad's still showing. I do want to see Power Ballad. I can't see it here. That's a shame. It's actually devastating. Mm. Let me check. In the Grey, real movie? Fake movie? Fake real movie?
Your computer's crashing.
Oh, it's still happening. I can see it in Werribee at the Palace Cinemas.
Okay, and are we currently near Werribee Palace Cinemas?
We're closer than we've ever been, Mason.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah. So, yeah, also the Ringiverse podcast, they were talking about there's been obviously test screenings and early screenings of this, and apparently people might not have liked the ending very much, but the movie is testing like fucking gangbusters right now.
Gangbusters.
And we'll just kind of see how far that goes. So, you know, that's something.
Okay.
It looks good.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It doesn't surprise me if it is testing well. Will it be good?
I mean,
100%.
I mean, Tom Holland did make them do that scene again, so.
Did they?
Yeah, and that was probably a pivotal scene.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
Pretty good.
Where he smashed the scorpion into a car and killed him.
Exactly. That's right.
Mm.
What if I killed him even harder?
I'm going to kill him so many times. Michael Mando, yeah? Wasn't he in Bear Castle?
I'm Frank Castle.
That's how you say. You say, I'm Frank Castle.
Frank Castle. I'm Frank Castle.
That's out July something.
Oh, yep.
When is it out, actually? It's still late July, I feel like. I think it's a month after, July 30. It's a month after Supergirl, a month and a bit.
Terrific.
Great. Speaking of Sony properties, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Did you know there's a new Jump Street movie?
I've heard rumblings and inklings.
And they
And twinklings.
And they said it.
And squinklings.
They did.
I've heard some squinklings.
You've had some? Heard some.
I heard some.
24 Jump Street, the tagline is, it took so long we had to skip one. Mm-hmm. So there were two 21 Jump Street movies, both very successful, both really funny.
And then there was a
gag at the end of the second one.
There was going to be a bunch of funny sequels, and there was long rumored there was going to be a Jump Street Men in Black crossover.
Apparently that was legit at one point.
And there was a bunch of information about it in the leaked Sony emails, right? And then I think it wasn't Jonah Hill, but it was Channing Tatum said something to the effect of there's a producer that they have to get on board in order to get these made, and he's too expensive, but I guess they've gotten over that somehow. They've bought him out, or they've got him on board, or they've got him to reduce his rate or something.
Yeah, or they killed him.
Maybe he died.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to look it up, so we'll never know.
What's the direction of this now that it's two 45-year-old men? What do you do with it? Do you do a Men in Black style thing? Once you do Men in Black, and I like that idea.
Yep.
I think it's really good, but what do you do next? Do you do them, they fight the Wolfman or whatever? Do they have to be all supernatural from there?
They should do, they're coaching a new team of like young cops who have to go into high schools and pretend to be high school
and
students.
And they're teachers, maybe?
No, like I think, but I think you could also do then the guys they've sent in, the young kids they've sent in, get into trouble, so then they have to just go back anyway, even though they look 45. They just have to be like, okay, I guess we got to be teenagers again.
There will probably be a scene where they have to be teenagers again. Mm. Yeah. Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, and Ice Cube are reprising their roles. It's going to be written by Rodney Rothman, Jonah Hill, and Megan Markle Malloy. And Rodney Rothman is set to direct, apparently.
Rodney Rothman? RR?
Rrr.
They probably got some of that... Well, they got some of that War of the Worlds heat from Ice Cube, and they finally managed to move the needle on this thing.
Maybe they did, yeah. So Rodney Rothman, did he direct the last ones? No.
You sure it's
didn't.
Not Rodney Rood?
Yes, it is. Okay. He he wrote the second one.
Okay.
Wrote on it, I guess. And he also directed Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We co-directed with two other people. But yeah, cool. All right. Okay. All right.
All right, okay.
See how
Very
that goes.
Good. How's Jonah Hill in terms of being cancelled or not cancelled currently?
I don't know. Who cares?
Great point.
I don't know.
Do you think he's going to be fat again?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
But he wasn't in those movies. Didn't he lose a bunch of weight or something?
Hope he's fat again.
I hope he's happy. And because he's happy.
I hope he's fat and miserable.
I hope he's happy and then what?
And cancelled.
And he's happy and then that.
I hope he's fat.
Energy he brings to those around him.
I hope he's fat and miserable and cancelled for my enjoyment.
Okay.
And I'm not going to pay to see the movie. I'm going to get a media screening ticket.
Just go to twitter.com and it will be there for free. They'll leak it all there. Producing duties will also be Phil Lord, Chris Miller, and also Neil H. Moritz.
You know what this is? This is... I think Neil H. Moritz is the...
Is that the guy?
That's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if it's Lord and Miller, I'm going to guess they were like, you know, we did that Project Hail Mary and it made $1 trillion
yeah, remember or whatever, that?
And everybody loved it. Well, we want to do this now. And they've just made it work somehow.
So, yeah, so he's the guy then. That's interesting. Cool.
Hell yeah.
Great and good.
Great and good.
Mason, as one franchise door opens, another closes.
So are the days of our lives. as one opens, the other closes. I'm Frank Castle.
Good. Doctor Who. BBC released a statement about the upcoming future of the series, which is upcoming. As part of securing the next phase of the show for future generations and in line with the BBC's charter and agreements requirements, the BBC will put Doctor Who out to a competitive tender this year. After careful consideration, the BBC, Russell T. Davis and Bad Wolf have collectively decided not to go ahead and with the previously announced Doctor Who Christmas episode. We know it will be disappointing for fans, but in order to set the show up for future series, it was decided that rather than bridge the gap with a one-off special, we are choosing to push forward to invest in the long-term future of the show, which ensures that when the TARDIS lands once more, it will do so in all its glory. I think they didn't get an international distributor for this after Disney.
Oh, and dumped it.
I know people are saying it's woke and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Sure. I'm sure they probably listen to all those lunatics. But also, this has been flagging for years, regardless of whether you think it's woke. I know I haven't watched it.
I watched the first season of the reboot, which I quite liked.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this when, I think a couple of months ago when Disney, you know, dumped it or were on the verge of dumping it or whatever. That, some of the critics were right in the sense that they went, hey, Americans, this show you've never really seen or you only know by reputation, we're starting you off with a really complicated plot involving the double regeneration.
Yeah.
Previous Doctor coming back.
Who
maybe you've never even seen before and a new guy and it's overly complicated and it draws upon all the previous generations of the Doctors and all their old enemies and all this sort of stuff. It's like maybe you could have made it a little bit easier to comprehend.
Absolutely.
A little simpler, you know?
Yeah. Russell T. Davis also released a statement saying that they hadn't even cast a new Doctor or whatever. And again, it's what's going to happen in the future. Who knows? It's up in the air. He's definitely not coming back though.
So when they say they're putting it out to tender, so that means previously this had been produced by Bad Wolf, which is Russell T. Davies. And so they're looking for another production company.
I think it's a production company. And they haven't mentioned this, but I think it also, they lost a lot of money in that Disney deal. Well, I know Disney did.
Think about this, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Interesting.
She can say she's going to produce it and then not.
And then not do it and get $10 million.
Yes.
Billion pounds.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I think this is a right call.
Uh-huh. Would you say that if you were more of a Doctor Who fan though?
I mean, I was. I was a big Doctor Who fan, but I haven't watched it in 10 years plus. Like I've come back here and there, but yeah, it doesn't. I think it's due for a rest and then a reinvention from somebody.
You developed a late onset allergy to that noise that goes.
Yours does it.
Oh yeah.
Very good. Why doesn't my microphone do that?
I don't know.
I think mine's got the rubber stop on the bottom.
Yeah,
yours doesn't.
That'll do it. Yeah.
I mean, there was a big gap. There was a little bit of a gap, and then there was a 90s telly movie, which was supposed to revive it, and then it died until 2005 or whatever it was.
Correct, yes.
And it's been running.
Eccleston, Tennant, Smith, et cetera.
It's been running pretty much consistently ever since with some gaps here and
there. Yeah, so I mean a 21-year run of a reboot is pretty impressive, honestly.
Yeah, but you know, it'll be back in whatever form. And
yeah.
I think this is what they should do with Star Wars, but they won't.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
At least the BBC has the balls to cancel something that no one likes.
True. Also, I thought Shooty Gutwell was a really good Doctor Who.
Agreed,
Yeah, but, you know. Nice. Mason?
Yes?
Paramount merger news.
We could get Eric Roberts back, is all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, he's Eric Roberts, isn't he?
He's Eric Roberts. And you can't take that away from him.
It's fucking World Cup groups going off again.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even care. I mean, good on Australia and whatever, if they're in it, which I think they are. Yeah. Are they?
I don't know.
Good on our boys in blue.
Our boys in blue and green and gold. There they are. They're taking it home for Australia.
They certainly are.
The big, whatever the shape of the cup is, probably normal.
Egg shaped.
Or like
soccer ball shaped.
No, it's probably like kidney bean shaped, like a big silver kidney bean.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Paramount merger.
Oh,
you know
yes.
about this?
What's I love it. Merger? I know about it and I love about
Paramount,
it.
Paramount, just a very, very brief summary. Paramount have purchased Warner Brothers Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix got the deal initially. Paramount kept bumping up the price until they basically outbid Netflix in its entirety, at which point Netflix went, you can have it, we don't care.
We'll take $3 billion in consolation yeah, price that's for doing right. nothing.
Which I think also Paramount ended up paying for. They ended up paying $110 billion. This also happened because David Allison, who runs Paramount Skydance or whatever it's called, is backed by his billionaire father, Larry Allison, who's also a friend of Trump, and they've also taken like something like 40% of Saudi money or whatever to make this happen.
Sounds just like good business sense.
It's good business sense.
Mm. We all take that Saudi money, you know?
It's good business.
It's good. We went to the Riyadh Podcast Festival.
It was good business. And they wanted us to be there. They said, welcome.
That's right.
And we love this.
We love it.
You're the real truth tellers, they said, the Weekly Planet Podcast.
Exactly right.
Do your Frank Castle bit. You're allowed to do that here.
You're allowed to do that here. We can't do that anywhere else, can we? We get shut down.
Anyway, there's a few hurdles in place of this that have been developing over the past few weeks.
How many of them are real and how many of them are fake?
A lot of them are real, but I think there's a very good chance this will still happen.
Oh, yes.
But also, I think there's a very good chance also, what's the split of that? I don't know. That the people involved at Paramount will just fuck this up.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But I don't think there's going to be any kind of regular, like proper regulatory boards that will do any actual...
No, somebody will just rubber stamp this.
Which, I mean, I would love that to not be true, but, you know, it very rarely happens. So anyway, more recently, the UK Competition Watchdog has opened its own investigation into the merger, given that the deal has ramifications across multiple markets outside of the US.
Mm-hmm.
So it set an August 7th deadline as to whether then they will...
Arf, arf, August 7th deadline.
It's good.
It's the watchdog.
The watchdog, yeah. Will then progress to the phase two of the inquiry, which will take a further 5 months, which would hold up the deal. In addition to that, in late May, the European Union launched its own investigation and is expected to deliver an initial report next month, July. And the US states of California and New York, the woke ones, by the way, are preparing a lawsuit to block the acquisition. Also, multiple people within the industry have signed letters or anonymously said that we don't want this to happen for various reasons. It's bad for business and Hollywood and everybody, which is true.
And we signed those. Absolutely. We're playing both sides.
Yeah, that's right. Also, so that's happening, which is bad for Paramount for reasons I've talked about. Paramount also accused Netflix of running a backroom scorched earth campaign to sabotage the deal.
Oh, yes.
I don't know whether that's true, but Netflix have come out and said, we just hand it over to you. We're busy and we don't care about this.
We're too busy trying to kill the cinema experience. We don't have time for whatever you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Though of the two that will kill the cinema experience, it will be Paramount.
Terrific.
I think.
And they were so buddy-buddy with Tom Cruise for such a long time.
He loved it. Anyway, there is a September 30 deadline in terms of when this has to happen.
Okay.
Right? Which is, you'd think, plenty of time. But then again, if you look at the way that this is going to unravel, if any of these things kind of stick or, you know, investigations, you know, will open up over many months, this can very likely be pushed. But deadline are reporting that Paramount has also agreed to a ticking fee in their acquisition agreement. So if the transaction fails to close by September 30, Paramount must pay 25 cents per share, which is roughly $627 million for each additional quarter that the deal drags on.
Oh.
Which is probably not a lot of money for them, but it's not insignificant.
Sure.
And if it doesn't go through, Paramount Skydance Corp has a proposed breakup fee of $5 billion.
Not bad.
So there are consequences if this doesn't happen or is delayed.
September, that's just enough time for one last heist. we get the crew together, we get in there, we steal. Yeah. Batgirl.
I would love that.
Batgirl off the servers.
Before.
And we show it to people and people are like, oh yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
It's all right, I guess.
Yeah. I can see why they didn't release it. It was all right. Wouldn't have made any money, but it was all right. Now, you might have heard also the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. They looked into this because they looked into it. They said, is this okay? And then in June of this month, they said, yes, it is actually.
Oh, that's great.
They said the deal is unlikely to have an effect on the substantially lessening competition in relation to the wholesale supply of films for theatrical release in Australia. So Australia says, this is good and we don't mind.
This is good. This isn't going to get in the way of any Red Dog sequels.
Absolutely. Look, our film industry, as everybody knows, is absolute dog shit and has been in the toilet for many years.
This
is good.
We pass it through our board, which consists of Paul Hogan, Kenny, Poyter.
Gina Reinhardt.
Gina Reinhardt is there.
Yep.
Yep. Other awful people. Other awful people, both real and fake in Australia. Daryl Summers was there. And Ozzy Ostrich is also on the
They're together.
The
they're a couple.
They're a couple.
And the ghost of aggro.
That's right. I think it's fine.
So that's where we're at. Will this awful thing still happen?
Maybe.
Probably, but you know.
Yeah.
Just thought that was interesting that there might be some minor consequences for Terrible Men.
Okay.
But probably not.
Probably not. Not in the way that they'd notice.
No, and even if this all falls through, they will be fine and they will be walk away. They might just be a bit sad for a second because they don't own literally everything. Anyways, Mason, trailers ahoy.
Honk tingling.
We've got three big trailers. One is for The Social Reckoning.
And we had a big trailer earlier with Spider-Man, but
That wasn't real.
No, not real.
We didn't even watch it.
It wasn't real.
Did you watch the trailer for The Social Reckoning?
Yeah, so watched it with you. I did. On a laptop.
Yeah. What did you think? So this is also, it's a quasi
Which Strong is he? It's Jeremy Strong.
Yes.
He looks too old to play Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
It's crazy how old he is.
He's got the haircut and nails the voice.
The impression is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's basically the story is Facebook engineers Francis Hagen-Horgan and the Wall Street
Hagen-Horgan.
Yep.
Fake name, but all
and
right.
And the Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Horowitz.
Who is not his father, he's his own man.
That's right. And that's Jeremy Allen White.
Yes.
They say they blow the whistle on The Social Network's most guarded secrets. It sucks and it's also really bad for society. They mentioned in the trailer specifically that it has a really negative impact on teen girls specifically, which we know, and also everything else. And also your parents are on there just having their brains melted
just
by
looking
AI.
At AI videos of cats.
Or racism.
Yeah, or racism, sure.
So
I know my dad is big on the cats part.
Of course he is.
And I'm like, why don't you get a cat? He's like, nah.
Is he giving up on the racism?
No, I don't think so.
Good.
Yeah.
This is directed by Aaron Sorkin, who wrote The Social Network, but it's not directed by
Fincher.
David Fincher, which is a shame. And I look at this and like, because it's Mark Zuckerberg having to, you know, go before Congress and whatever, answer questions, sort of. I look at this though and I'm like, I don't.
Who's this for?
What's
is what you're saying.
The point of this?
Okay.
What was the outcome of all of
it's
this?
It's to make us feel good because at the end of it, he'll get a small penalty.
Yeah.
Or he'll have to pay a fine.
And he's still sad?
And he's still sad.
I mean,
That'll
I know
it.
That already.
Who's paying for this?
Sony. Good question.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Sony Pictures.
I suspect the whole, not to be cynical or anything.
Sorry, produced by Columbia, Alcon, The Gotham Group, and Escape Artists.
I think not to be too cynical about this, James, but I suspect this is one of those movies that exists in place of activism where it's like.
Yes, absolutely.
Where it's like at the end it's going to be like, well, he's got $1 trillion, but he's still a little bit sad and he got a small fine for ruining society. So that's actually good. You should feel good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel that weird sense of anxiety all the time now.
Yeah.
When you're not looking at your phone and when you are looking at your phone. But Mark Zuckerberg's a bit sad, isn't he?
Yeah.
In his New Zealand bunker or whatever. Getting off his super yacht to his New Zealand bunker.
I hope we get to see him do his karate that he does and whatever.
Oh, he does karate now, that's
or whatever,
true.
Whatever the thing is that he does.
I want to see his fancy watch collection.
Yeah. All of that. So that's out. I don't know. I just feel like this should be called Facebook No Consequences. Like you can make that into a poster if you want.
Yeah,
you don't have to.
You talking to me?
Yes.
You talking to me?
No, I'm talking about the Weekly Planet posters. It's also coming up.
Because I don't see nobody else here.
He's coming up.
Humphrey Castle.
The Weekly Planet posters.
You talking to me?
He's coming up on 1,000.
You talking to me, Spidey? In New York City, Humphrey Castle.
Did you see he's coming up on 1,000
posters? Yes, 1,000 posters. I did see that.
I'm excited for this. You don't have to make it this one. So that's excited. Excited.
Do you Do you think he's got a touch of the Quentin Tarantino anxiety?
Oh.
Is he going to quit after 1,000? Posters?
No. I think he'll make another 1,000.
Wow, okay.
He does beautiful work. You should follow him on all the socials.
Agreed.
Or buy a t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You said buy a t-shirt and you struck that Zac Efron pose from the stock art or whatever.
Yeah. But this one.
One, that one's good also, yes.
October 9th.
Very good. I'll watch it because we have to.
I am interested.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be as good as the last one, and again, no consequences. Mm. The world is bad forever now, but you know,
this it could always get worse.
Yes.
Think on the bright side. It could always get worse.
At least we've got whale fail.
That's true.
Now, are you calling it that because the whale is failing? Or
you already
the man
asked me
is
this because the man is failing. What would happen if this were a viral video?
If this was a dirt bike fail,
yeah.
You wouldn't be like, man fails.
No,
it would be dirt bike fail.
It'd be dirt bike fail, exactly. Right. So
I just don't think it's the whale's fault. He's eating a squid.
No, exactly.
Or
so,
she.
So this is a movie about a man who gets... Is it based on a true story?
I was just about to check that.
So it's about a man who's he's off scoobering. His dad's like, you can grow up to do anything. His dad, Josh Brolin, is like, you can grow up to do anything, including getting eaten by a whale.
Oh.
And he does. And there's a big scene, and you mentioned to me, they put a lot of this scene in the trailer.
Yeah, the whale fail.
Where he gets caught in a squid that's being eaten by a whale, then he gets eaten by a whale. And if it were a viral video, it would then go, whale fail.
Whale fail.
And if it were America's Funniest Home Videos or Australia's Funniest Home Videos back in the 80s, it'd be like, boy, I sure hope I don't get eaten by this whale. Oh, I got eaten by a whale.
No,
I got eaten by a whale.
I could get eaten by a whale if it was a squid in its mouth and it dragged me into its mouth with a squid.
Oh no, that happened.
It's based on a book, Mason.
Okay.
A fake book.
Well, books are real in a sense.
From 2013.
Okay.
And it's called Whale Fail, the book.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's by Daniel Krauss.
The title is Whale Fail, the book. Brackets, maybe a movie, though, soon.
Don't you think you could make this into a movie?
Maybe, but very not expensive.
Yeah.
One man in a room that is a whale.
One man in a wet room.
Like buried, but in a whale.
Buried whale.
But anyway, he's got to survive in there, presumably, before his oxygen runs out.
Yeah.
Or he gets dissolved by whale stomach acids.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, he did.
I'd simply not get in that situation. How about you?
You don't like the ocean.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd get in that situation.
Oh, wouldn't I?
Not on purpose.
Okay.
But I could see myself.
I purposefully wouldn't get in this situation and I'd just enjoy the rest of my day.
I think you'd be able to see the elements of that unfolding around you.
Easily.
Like, you'd, for example, someone would be like, here's a scuba diving tank. Yep. And even at that point, you'd be like, no, thank you, actually.
No, I can see the whale on the horizon. And he's famished.
We've got both groups going off now. The bushwalking group.
Turn the notifications off.
How am I supposed to turn the notification off mid-podcast?
I don't know,
Isn't that rude to you?
Yes.
Or is it rude if I keep looking at my phone?
Oh, I don't know, James. Which is ruder? Oh, no.
The director of this, Brian Duffield, directed No One Will Save You. Remember the Caitlin Dever movie?
Oh, yes. The mostly silent movie, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good
I guess
movie.
That's similar in tone. Unless he's going to be like... How do I get out of this?
I've
got a flare. I'll use the flare. Oh, the flare didn't work.
The flare hasn't worked.
I'll use my whale repellent spray that makes a whale open its mouth when you spray it. Mm. Oh, I
sprayed it in my mouth.
Oh, no. And it's gone off. And now it's empty.
Damn.
What else can I do?
Can't you just go up through the blowhole?
Probably.
Mm.
Isn't that how Jonah did it?
Yeah.
Or whoever was in that cartoon?
Pinocchio.
You
watched Pinocchio, the live action one.
Very good.
How much of it was live action? How much was animated?
I actually don't know. I could not tell you for the life of me. It's all gone.
This is out.
Do you think he's going to call his dad, Josh Brolin? Be like, I love you, Dad.
Josh Brolin's like, I'm drunk and I got opinions. You do, Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
And that's when we love you for it.
Mm.
October 16th.
Okay.
For Whale Fire.
How do you feel about these slow burn movies where it's just one guy in a room?
I mean, they can be good.
They can be good, can't they?
I didn't see Blood Coffin or whatever it was called. Markiplier.
Oh, Iron Lung. I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
No.
That's a guy stuck in
I like Buried. I like Lock with Tom Hardy.
Lock in a car, yeah.
Lock
you like
car.
Phone Booth?
Though, I like Phone
does
Booth.
Does venture outside the phone booth.
That's
from
true.
Time to time.
What was the other one? There was a recent one and it's...
Room 1408?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that one. What was the one? It was Anthony Hopkins
in a car. Also a car one, yeah.
And his guy he doesn't like in a car.
Movie set in one
Anthony
source.
Hopkins haunts a car.
Yeah.
Haunted car.
Car haunter.
Yeah. What about that one Willem Dafoe? He's a burglar.
I watched
and he
that
goes
one.
To burglarize the house and then it locks him in. How's that go? I didn't see that one.
It's a good question. Mm-hmm. 12 Angry Men, there's one for you. Breakfast Club, there's one for you. Cube, there's one for you.
These are all wrong.
Penny Dreadful, apparently.
No.
Is that an episode maybe?
I guess.
127 Hours, Man Pinned Under a Rock. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm pinned under a rock. 8 at 8.
127 Hours, : Man Pinned Under a Rock is a good title.
Agreed. Exit 8.
Oh, yeah.
It's saying Late Night with the Devil, but I guess
no, that's a bunch of people in a room. That doesn't count at all.
Exactly.
Don't know anything AI.
Also, no, this is Wikipedia. Also, they're saying Knock at the Cabin. It's set in a cabin. It's
with a bunch
room.
Of people.
Come on, man.
Yeah. And they go outside.
Bodies, bodies, bodies. Again, set in a room, in a house, not bullet train, set in a train in other places.
Okay, these are just movies set in places.
Yeah, exactly. They have one location, but it's also not even sometimes.
James, can I ask, is that list on Wikipedia 20,000 items long? Because if it's just movies set in places, that's most movies.
You're right. I have looked up every movie that's ever been made from every country.
Yeah, that'll do it, yeah.
So, Frozen. I haven't seen that one. Not the one you're thinking of. The Man from Earth.
That's in a room, but none of these apply.
Panic Room?
I'm talking.
Again, there's a panic. I agree.
I'm talking specifically about one man, and it must be a man.
I'm a
in
man.
A room.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Yep.
All right. There's one more trailer for Italian Cats.
Yeah, Gatto.
It's called Gatto.
And is it about organized crime cats?
Yes.
Gives us that vibe.
Mark Ruffalo.
I said, in Australia, there's a family, the organized crime family called the Gattos.
Yeah, I knew a bunch of them when I was a teenager.
Do you think this is related?
Ask me if they're all good.
Are they all good?
Yeah, they're all great people.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're all great and cool and normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
They gave you money to start your pizza and piano accordion business.
/ YouTube.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Uh-huh. That's why I'm saying they're great and good and normal.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Anyway, Italian Mafia Pixar movie.
Looks fun. Looks whimsy.
It's a different animation style. And by that I mean it's doing Spider-Verse or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that, but you know what?
It's got some DreamWorks vibe to it.
Yeah.
It looks more, I was going to say whimsical, but that's not it. It's more
scratchy.
Yeah, but it's more kind of just quirky and fun and kind of, you know. It doesn't look like it has a deep meaning, but I mean, it's only a teaser trailer.
It's Pixar, so someone's dad will die and then there'll be a montage of sadness.
Yeah, great, good.
Mafia cats and mucking about, I guess, you
know. Sounds good.
This is out March.
Wasn't the bad guys mafia cats and mucking around?
Yeah, also.
Was it? I didn't see it.
I don't know. Mark Ruffalo's in it. What's the, who's the cast, Mason? Can you tell me?
Somebody in it sounded like.
It's Mark Ruffalo, one of them.
Okay, right.
Mm.
Who else?
He's Nero, which is black in Italian. Lawrence Fishburne is cat mob boss.
Okay.
That's interesting. Mm. He's not even Italian. Just allowed? Or a cat.
Mm.
So, wait, Mark Ruffalo, he's not Italian or a cat either, maybe. Or he is Italian.
Ruffalo?
I hardly know
That's Italian for Ruffles chips. So, yes, he is Italian. Remember Ruffles?
No, it says he's Italian and French-Canadian.
Huh.
Doesn't count.
No.
That's all I'm saying. But I guess it's worth pointing out that there's a new Pixar movie on March 5th next year because this week coming we've got, of course, Toy Story 5. Reception is good and it's tracking really well. This is why they make 5 Toy Story movies.
Correct, yes.
And I like them all. But you might be like, isn't there enough Toy Story movies? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but we said that.
I said that after the first one.
Yeah, we said that after everyone and then every other one's been mostly delightful.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you could have ended it at 3.
Mm.
Yeah, you could have ended it at 4. Yeah, you could have ended it at 5.
You could have ended it at 1.
But they all make $1 billion.
They make $1 billion while you turn down $1 billion. You know,
yeah. Isn't nostalgia good? Isn't it good looking at a thing and then also what if a toy could look at an iPad?
Absolutely.
What if a toy could? What do you think?
I think that's correct.
I'm looking forward. I'm going to take my kids this week and we're going to go and see it and then we're all going to know if it's good.
Have they seen all the other Toy Story movies?
Nah, bits and pieces. I don't know. Do you need to know?
What are you doing with
what
these
mean?
Kids? What are you doing?
You're locked into like continuity and like what you need to know to see a movie.
Yeah, the important things.
A movie should stand on its own even if it's the like Godfather 2.
You got to sit them down. You got to sit them down this weekend, you watch all the other Toy Story movies with them and then you quiz them.
Well, I'm quite busy actually and I don't want to do that.
Mm, bad parenting.
Okay, how about this? Yes. How about I show them all the Toy Story spin-off media where Tom Hanks' brother voices Woody because they can't afford Tom Hanks.
Sounds really good. And you show them Lightyear.
Yes.
The sad one.
Oh, I forgot.
The
I did
sad,
take my son
boring
to Lightyear.
One. Yeah, he hated Lightyear.
He didn't like it.
It's interesting. And it was in that era where kids like everything.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It's a bad, boring, dull movie. Why did they make it? No fun.
Mm.
Interstellar, but Buzz Lightyear gets depressed because all his friends die.
And you blocked it out.
Good idea.
So sad.
Fucking good idea, man.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Buzz Lightyear movie that the toy's based on.
No kids
No,
liked
it's
it.
Not. What are you talking about?
No, awful.
My phone just went off again. Excuse me. I just want to check which group chat it is. No, it's an email from my kids' primary school.
Also, when
it's about bike
when Jane, also to be clear for people who can't see it, which is everybody except me, James has got his phone in this like World War II bomb shelter case. It's enormous. And every time he brings it out, it's like he's wielding it like a brick.
But look how this works, okay? So I've got a thing on the back, a little hinge, so I keep my credit card in here, my license.
Sure.
Also, it's got a camera. I don't like my camera being exposed, so it's got a little slidey camera thing
on
the back. And you can drop it. Look.
Wow.
It's still working. I had to check. I wasn't 100% sure on it.
Yeah.
I'm still getting my text messages.
Okay. And are we being sponsored by really big World War II brick phone covers?
Actually, yes.
Okay. Because that was a good test, I think.
Really big World War II covers made of wood and stone.
Great.
Great.
Anyway, who was it in the group chat? Which group
chat? No, that wasn't. That was an email from my son's school about bike repair.
Okay.
I'll repair my own son's bike, thank you very much. You think I need some outsider coming in, teaching my son how to be a man?
Yes.
I'm doing that. I'm telling him how to teach his bike, to make his bike, to make his bed. I'm doing it all. I don't need you, Mason. I don't need anyone.
Right.
Do you want to go to the next segment of the show?
Yes. Okay. I think we have to. I think we have to move on as quickly as possible.
Disclosure day.
Disclosure day.
Budget of $115 million with a break-even point of $300 million.
Okay, then.
Might be possible because the US opening for this is about $35
million. Oh, yes.
It's going to make $65 million worldwide, and depending on how this is received and whether it gets crushed by another movie made by a YouTuber, this might do okay.
Another one might just surprise jump out of the gate and just crush legendary filmmaker Steven Spielberg.
Yep. Which is what he wanted.
Yeah, that's right.
He's all about independent filmmaking, or he was, or
whatever.
Didn't
he say he saw something recently? I saw an interview where he's like, I saw that. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, he did.
Some horror movie?
Might have been Obsession, but it might have been something else.
I think it was something prior to Obsession. It was Weapons, maybe.
Weapons is old news.
Yeah, I know it's old, but he's old.
Which YouTuber made Weapons? I guess Zach Cregger did have a YouTube series, didn't he?
Did he?
At some point, didn't he?
No, he was in The Whitest Kids You Know.
Wasn't that part of YouTube at some point?
It was on. Some of it was on YouTube.
Yeah, okay, all right. We don't need to know your technicality.
There's this little thing called television. You young kids don't know about it.
Yeah.
But there was two knobs on your television. Mm-hmm. One controlled the channel. The second one, who knows?
We don't actually know. It would come off when you would turn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just click, 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 and you'd be like, nothing's changing.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
And then someone in your family would hit you over the back of the head.
That's right. And it made you a better person and a man.
That's right. And you grew up and you're okay.
Everything was okay. Everything is currently okay.
Anyways, Obsession on Monday, right after Masters of the Universe, maybe briefly took the number one spot, came back to number one.
Okay.
Masters of the Universe is struggling. It dropped to number four.
You know what is surprising to me, though?
What's that?
Is that apparently the biggest buyers of tickets were men in their late 40s and 50s.
Oh, to Masters of the Universe?
No,
That's shocking, Mason,
no,
to
but,
me.
But here's the thing, like...
I'm shocked! Look at me, I'm the poster for The Scream or whatever.
He's doing the Macaulay Culkin face. I would assume that no men of that age, like I would just say we were the exceptions. And
we're talking about Masters of the Universe, right?
Yes, but what I'm saying is that I think most men in their 50s who are also dead aren't going to the movies at all, and if they are, they're not seeing a movie based on a toy they had as a child. That would be my guess. Like, we're the exceptions and there's a few weirdos.
I think
but I guess that they, all these old dead men made an exception. They carved out an exception for this movie.
That does not surprise me at all. So you've got to remember, we were watching this in the 80s on our broken TVs and someone hit us in the back of the head. And that
made us normal.
That's a core memory.
I just remembered that it made us normal. I forgot.
I mean, because honestly, like, who else would be seeing that movie?
I mean, if they released this at a time where anywhere in the world was doing school holidays, I would have thought that parents would be like, I'm desperate to take my kids to anything. I'd take them to Masters of the Universe. It's fun and colorful
they
and there's sword fights
that.
And magic and whatever.
Yeah.
And weird vehicles.
Yeah.
That would be it. But the
Supergirl is probably going to benefit from that.
Yeah.
Depending. I mean, that's not tracking as well as Superman, but it's tracking okay at the moment.
What is the strategy? What is the release strategy of Masters of the Universe to just release it in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think Mortal Kombat 2 suffered from that as well because it got pushed from October last year, which would have been a really good time, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it's just on streaming or whatever it's doing.
Yeah.
Also, I don't understand how Mortal Kombat...
And In the Grey. Don't get me started on In the Grey.
Mate, we could go to Werribee right now and watch In the Grey. For free, we could just walk in. Nobody would be manning that cinema.
That's so true.
I guarantee you. But there would be that smell.
That is
the Werribee smell.
The Werribee smell, I understand.
You can order it online. You can get a jar of it if you are interested in the Werribee smell. Anyways, Disclosure Day.
Yes.
What do you think the story was?
Well, there's a man.
What's his name?
Josh O'Connor.
Yes.
And his real name?
That is his real name.
But the character's
name. What's his
movie
name?
It's like... Kendall Schmendrell or
Bill
something.
America.
Bill America. Well, guess what? He's a man with a lot of layers. like all Spielberg protagonists, all every male Spielberg protagonist in the last 10, 15 years, he's got a lot of layers. And by that, I mean he's got a lot of layers of clothing on. He's got five layers of clothing on. T-shirt, Henley, hoodie, bomber jacket, vest over the top of the bomber jacket.
Is this a normal, five layers. Is this a normal thing for Daniel Kellner to wear?
It might be. We don't know his life before this movie started.
No,
I mean, we
do.
Learn a little.
We have something about aliens or whatever. I guess later Alien and math.
Yes.
How much alien and math do you know, Daniel? But quite a lot, actually.
Well, he's on the run because he's got...
Don't ask me about it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you. It's all on these USBs or whatever.
Yeah, those alien USBs.
Are they?
But they're proprietary.
Proprietary my ass. They fit in any USB slot.
No, they didn't.
They did. They had one at the petrol station.
No, I think he brought his own little device. I think that connected to a regular USB, but I think his thing, like it's unnecessary.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, he's on the run from an evil corporation because he's got all their evil corporation datums.
Yep.
And he's going to reveal some big secrets, but also...
What's going on?
Emily Blunt is a simple news reader.
Yep.
Who's in a relationship with Wyatt Russell.
Wyatt Russell.
And she's like, I just want to be in the news and I want to break the big stories, even though I'm just a weather woman.
She also has I just want to quickly say this. So she shows an audition tape for a news reading at the start.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, is this supposed to be not very good?
Yeah.
I feel like is that?
I don't know. I think
because I'm watching her do the news and I'm like, I don't think there's a good cadence to this. I don't know whether this is supposed to be on purpose.
Well, I mean, Wyatt Russell reacts to it like he's just being nice. He's just like, oh, that's pretty good. So I think
that's
it is supposed to be bad.
Okay, cool, because it was.
Okay, good. Anyway, she's just a normal newsreader, but then something happens, and then she goes to read the weather.
A bird looks at her.
And then she goes to read the weather, and all of a sudden she's on TV going...
And you might be like...
Ski-ba-da-ba-dee-bop-ba-da-bop.
And you might be like, is this some kind of...
Ski-ba-ba-ba-da-bop.
Was it a racist stereotype?
Zit-a-ba-da-bip-bop-ba-da-bop. That's why I'm saying she should have done the scatting.
Yeah. Was this like a joke from the 70s? You might see it in The Gods Must Be Crazy or something like that.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
No, it might be an extraterrestrial math language.
Could be.
Could it be that?
Could it be? And anyway, what's their connection? Well, we'll find out.
Are they brother and sister?
Yeah.
Is the connection that they're both British doing American accents?
Oh, that's interesting.
As is a lot of people in this movie.
Colin Firth is in this. Colin Firth. He's the head of the evil corporation.
What's Eve Hewson? Is she Irish?
Maybe. She looks Irish, doesn't she?
She looks bloody Irish, yeah. She is Irish, yeah.
All right, then.
God, I'm killing this.
Who else is there?
Coleman Domingo.
Coleman Domingo. He's the guy, Kendall Schmandl.
That dude's slick as.
He's out there and he's calling up Coleman Domingo, and Coleman Domingo's like, just keep running.
Yeah.
Just keep running around.
Everything's going to work out or
just,
whatever.
Just believe in yourself and run around.
You might see some animals. That's good.
That's part of this. Yeah, yeah.
Also, don't run into Donovan the bully from The Inbetweeners.
That's right.
He's with Colin Firth.
Yeah.
And Colin Firth has a magic wand.
Yeah. But maybe everybody could have a magic wand.
Yeah.
Oh, and Coleman Domingo's building a weird thing.
Yes.
You just, most of the movie, he's in somewhere, some sort of warehouse, and everybody behind him's like, wielding props from that 70s show.
Yeah.
Set dressing.
Yeah, you're like, is he upset? What's he
set
doing?
Dressing for that 70s show, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like they only needed to build the one room.
Yeah,
we'll
probably.
Talk about it, but.
Or nothing. A picture.
A picture
would work. Look at this picture.
Yeah, is this you?
Look at this photograph.
Yeah, is this you? Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, so this is Spielberg's return to...
I hope that was succinct and clear and everybody understands.
It's about... Okay, so it's basically about revealing to the world that aliens exist.
Yeah, correct.
Which is not a spoiler. It's in all the trailers and it's very clear early on that that's what the movie is about.
Mm.
Because this is a knowledge that some people feel actually belongs to the entire Earth and not just Colin Firth.
But Colin Firth thinks that if people learned about this information,
they wouldn't
they'd
believe
be like...
in capitalism or God
exactly,
or whatever.
That's right. Their jaw would fall onto the table and their tongue would roll out onto the table and then their eyes would bug out and steam would shoot out of their ears, but not in a good way.
No.
Bad way.
And you might be like, oh, and then is there an opportunity to do like a cartoon dance with Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maybe, but it wouldn't be in a good way.
It wouldn't be in a good way. It'd be in a bad way, bad for society.
She'd get dizzy. She'd vomit.
And if everybody's doing that.
Yeah, if everyone was doing
Cameron Diaz is going to be, she's going to be out of it, you know?
When's she going to go to work or sleep or whatever or even have breakfast?
Wouldn't have time.
She'd be too busy vomiting and spinning.
And everybody's doing a big swing dance with her to the Cherry Poppin' Daddy. Because of this information they've learned that's turned them into the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
This is Spielberg returning to Aliens.
Yes, it is.
It started with Close Encounters in 1977.
Then it.
Yes. Then Et. He also did War of the Worlds.
Another Man with
another
Layers.
Another one. And he does have a fascination with...
with layers.
Layers and the human condition and extraterrestrials and all of that. It's been a fascination of his entire career and life.
Mm.
I do think this does...
And what's he got to show for it? He's seen an alien, Steven Spielberg. You're not even one of those guys who's like, yeah, I did see one, actually.
Oh, I'd love him to be one of those guys.
You know, like Alan Moore's always like, yeah, I saw John Constantine. I met him.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stubbed out a cigarette on my head. You know? Well, Spielberg's never met Et, has he?
Or Alan Rich. No. Has he met Alan Richin? Probably.
Probably.
I don't know why I was going to say Alan Cummings, but he's not anywhere near this movie, is he?
Not at all.
Yeah. This does feel very early Spielberg. This does feel like a sequel to Close Encounters.
Yes.
It's got kind of the pace of a 1970s, like, contemplative sci-fi. Like, there's not really a lot of...
Maybe not that slow.
No, because there's big car chases and whatever. Yeah.
In fact, this movie is mostly big car chases.
Yeah.
If you're in this for big alien revelations, there's some...
Yeah,
but
I think there's.
If you're in this for running about in the forest and
looking at a CGI fox,
and car chases and people remote viewing with a magic wand,
yeah,
you're in for a treat.
Yeah, they're doing that thing from The Last Jedi where they can look at each other or whatever.
Yes.
What do you think of this?
I liked it.
I liked it too. It did feel. Look, when you look at what like Spielberg has done,
yes,
like his body of work, like I don't think it's. It's not his best, obviously.
Okay. And what is his best?
I don't know. Jurassic Park, Minority Report, Catch Me If You Can,
Indiana Jones,
Indiana Jones, Jaws,
Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, probably Close Encounters. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Sure. I'm going to bring up a list of everything he's ever done that I made.
Sure. Empire of the Sun. It's probably better than that. But I do think it's better.
Is Christian Bale in that?
Yes, as a little boy. Okay. I do think it's better than War of the Worlds, though.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I think there is like a, I don't know, I think the themes and the idea behind empathy and kindness and faith being a strength.
Yeah.
I think that,
this very now.
Yes. I don't think it all works and all comes together. And I think some of the revelations wouldn't be treated.
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One, good movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be treated as, I don't know, as I. We'll talk more about that in spoilers.
Uh-huh.
But I just feel that the reaction to some of this stuff wouldn't be as maybe as. I think he has kind of an old man's understanding of how the internet and social media and people's reaction works.
Well, we have talked about the movie Glass.
Yeah.
In which at the end of the movie Glass, which is the M. Night Shyamalan movie, that is a sequel to Unbreakable and a sequel to Split.
Yeah.
That at the end of the movie. Someone uploads to YouTube a video
of a man doing a dog run.
Yeah, a man doing a dog run and a man sort of half lifting a car or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're gonna reveal this whole thing to the world, and people will be like, I don't care what this is.
Yeah.
But I think that there's more of an effort. I don't know if Spielberg has seen the movie Glass.
Yeah.
But I think there was much more of an effort to be like how this would propagate across the world is it would be flooded on every channel and every.
Yeah.
It would have to reach a critical mass like a movie. It would
yes.
have to kind of, and everybody would have to, it'd be breaking news on every social media platform and every real TV station and even some of the, you know, it's even on Fox News, for example.
I think maybe it would be for a day.
Yeah.
But then again, this is more spoilers, I guess. But, you know what's interesting about this? David Koepp wrote this, who also wrote the recent Jurassic Park movie,
The Kepster,
which was awful, but he's also written a lot of good stuff. Apparently, he did 42 drafts for this.
Keposaurus Rex. 42 drafts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a notable number, James.
Absolutely. Mm. So it's good that this was
the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
That's true, Matt. Mm. Wow. Well, speaking of, so Josh O'Connor is a math man.
Yes.
And Emily Blunt is an empathy woman.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And they've got
those
alien.
Are the two. Things you need.
I like the idea behind that. And it is like, again, this could have just been a Close Encounter sequel.
Could have been an email.
Sure.
This movie could have been an email.
It could have been a forward from your mum.
Yeah.
But I was waiting for a reveal like that. I really thought, and it could still be a sequel to this. It may as be in many ways.
Mm.
But it does feel like that because, you know, Close Encounters, you're getting these subliminal message beam into your head and you think you're going crazy and whatever, but actually it's part of this greater thing and connection and humanity and aliens and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I think good, strong performances all around.
Yep.
It's nice to see Colin Firth being a villain. That's fun.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Yeah.
I like it because he's also got a magic stick that he's using to contact people and stab people and whatever and change the color of their eyes.
Yes.
I As a piece of technology, I thought that was really interesting in the fact that it could do so much, but he's just using it for this.
Yeah, he's using it for a mundane kind of military espionage kind of way,
And even the idea that he's not even strictly military, he's part of a private organization which has just been hoarding all this information and technology for decades.
Because I believe that the idea being that I think that, you know, the president can be the president for as you know, only 8 years at maximum, and then they're just a civilian again. Citizen, so they can't be trusted with this sort of secret.
Some presidents certainly can't. Probably all of them, really. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting, like him controlling the flow of technology, and also it would, you know, if this was to be real, there would be a breaking point, you know, like if where eventually you couldn't cover this up. And there is, because I went with a friend of mine who, like, he loves all the, like, the UFO conspiracy theories and the news of that and sightings. Or what, and different, you know, and different sightings and all of that. And a lot of that stuff, apparently, that people research and talk about, whatever, is, like, in this. Like, right, they borrowed a lot of the, you know, the different alien lore and different technologies and whatever and all of that.
There's a scene, I think it's in the trailer, where we see it's Richard Nixon. It's archival footage.
Tricky
Dicky Nixon. It's like security camera footage from one of the facilities.
Come look at this alien.
It's Nixon, and I think he's showing Jackie Gleason around.
Jackie Gleason
around the alien
facility.
I love
how you threatened to hit your wife, Jackie Gleason, on television.
To the moon. That's like a UFO, isn't it?
That makes me dizzy doing that impression.
Makes me feel more alive than ever. I'm now more focused than ever,
Well, maybe we can spin Cameron Diaz around a bunch.
Absolutely.
Maybe it would make her feel more alive. Anyway, go on,
That's all I had. I just thought it was fun.
I think it's fun that,
Because that is something that is alleged to have happened, that Nixon took Jackie Gleason.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's fun. Well, I guess that's why they shut that down. There's also the question of, like, well, if you reveal this to the world, what is the impact of that? Like, would religion even exist anymore if you knew that there was a life form out there which is greater than human beings?
And some say the fact that religion, you know, would still exist or would not exist is an important thing. And I think other people would say it's probably fine.
Doesn't really matter. I think, but I do think, I ultimately think if you had faith, I don't think anything like this would shake that in you.
I think
you could still believe in a higher
power. It's sort
of
the equivalent of, like, you know, now you can get like a can of peaches and it's got the ring pull on it.
Yeah.
That caused the elimination of that weird metal spike thing you used to have to use to open cans.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I feel like it's a similar sort of allegory there. Like if aliens existed, probably wouldn't mind if religion wasn't around anymore. If we knew for sure.
You wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind
cool.
at all.
I think also there's some great car chases in this. There's a couple of really good car chases. There's one like through a house.
Yes.
And there's also one like to get onto a train, which I think is pretty thrilling as well.
Yeah, agreed.
And there's also there's some really interesting camera work.
What I would say there is that's also, comparatively speaking to a lot of movie action sequences and car chases, it's quite a small thing.
Yeah.
Because when you think of a Fast and the Furious car chase, there's 20 cars and they're driving across the city.
That would be a second thing.
Exactly. And everything's being smashed to pieces and there's a big bomb or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is just, and it's in one of the trailers, it's the two main characters are in a car, they're waiting at a railway crossing, and then one of the bad guys' cars
crashes. It's Donovan from the In-Betweeners.
He crashes in the back of them, and their car starts getting forced into the path of the train, and they're going to die. And it's like, compared to others, that's such a small action concept, but it's...
They're normal people.
Exactly. And it's like, and they're doing their best.
Yeah.
And Emily Blunt is driving, but she can't just jump out because she's got her foot on the brake. And if she tries to jump out and she lets her foot off the brake for a second, they're going to go crashing into the train. So it's like...
And she tells the audience that.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Master filmmaker, Steven Spielberg.
Agreed. Yeah. So there's also a moment where Josh O'Connor, the math man, he's sneaking up on a farmhouse.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed the camera movement of that. It kind of weaves around him and it goes through a fence at one point and back around.
Would you say master filmmaker Steven Spielberg?
I would say that. I think his use of camera work,
yes,
if you could call it that, you can. You definitely could.
Oh, yeah, terrific.
Is excellent. And even just like seeing a shot like that of like, oh, this is really well planned out. Oh, is that fence must be some partially CGI because you couldn't move it through it like that. Oh, but is this a drone shot or like a camera? Like, or is it on a rig?
Sounds
like,
distracting.
Yeah, no. It was great. Like, it was really good. I think, though, there is some imagery that's also really good. There's a moment because the aliens can appear as like animals, and there's a moment where a deer, this is in one of the trailers, like morphs, sort of, not even a morph. It's like a switch. You zoom in on an eye and then it switches into a grey alien.
A grey alien.
That was amazing. But then there's other moments where like there's just a CGI fox and it's like, this doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
And I guess the argument could be, well, it's not really a fox.
Yeah.
It's a hallucination or a dream or it's an alien pretending to be or whatever. But I just think, I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
Okay.
And there was one moment where Josh O'Connor, the math man, is standing in a field and he's yelling over the phone about doing math or whatever. And then a crop circle like forms around him. And I just don't know why you would.
Because of vibes, man.
No, no, do you know what I mean? Like, it seems unnecessary. It seemed a little
little on the nose?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't think you needed it.
Okay.
For example. Okay. But, you know.
Well, I think it was just what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call me The Cars, because that's just what I needed. There's a band called The Cars, and they had a song called
Just What I Needed.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that, if that helps with that metaphor there.
It does.
Could you call me The Cars?
Do you want that?
Not really.
Is that what you need?
I'm indifferent to it, honestly.
They should call the song that.
Yeah.
I'm indifferent. I liked it. I also think don't go in thinking this is a big bombastic.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It's Saving Private Ryan. There's another really good Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Jaws.
Jaws. I think it. Yeah. Of the, you know, of the past 20 years, this is definitely probably the strongest of the movies that he's made. Also, I haven't seen Bridge of Spies. There's a few other ones that I haven't seen. But this one I really, really liked. And my friend who's into all this, he loved it. He thought it was incredible. So yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to say best movie ever, but also not for everybody. I also think this is the kind of it's a very particular type of sci-fi that they don't really make anymore.
Okay. Well, I would say give it a whirl, you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying you just might not like it.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not saying don't see it because of that.
Yes.
I'm just saying it's not really a movie you see anymore. It's only a movie that Steven Spielberg could be allowed to make.
Yeah, absolutely, at this point. This is not, it doesn't end with a big laser battle.
No.
Or does it?
I didn't stay for the credits. Speaking of...
I didn't stay for the end, so I don't know.
I met a bunch of people after the show in the foyer. And they were all very lovely. It was really nice to... Thank you to all those people who said hi. Didn't expect it.
All right, then.
It shocked me to my core.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but they were awesome. Spoilers?
Spoilers. Best movie ever.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
Mm.
What can we do in terms of spoilers?
Well, at the end, they have to broadcast all the information about different aliens.
If we go further back to that.
Sure.
So Josh O'Connor and Emily Blunt's characters, their fates are intertwined because they were children, and they are the same age.
Yeah.
Both those actors. Is that they were lured from their homes,
yeah.
I think, by aliens and brought into kind of a Emily Blunt's recollection. She doesn't remember anything prior to being 10 years old.
Yeah, and he's also the same sort of.
And they're the same age.
Yeah.
But they are lured from their homes.
I think she's supposed to be slightly older, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But Emily Blunt's character is lured out of her home by an animal.
Yeah.
And she is...
I wouldn't go.
No. And then she's lured to kind of a Hansel and Gretel-style gingerbread house, which, again... There's stories against doing that.
Yeah.
And yet she goes in there and then
she's called Three Little Pigs.
That's right. And her and Josh O'Connor are exposed to some sort of alien mental device.
Magic sticks.
And it gives Josh O'Connor the ability to interpret mathematics. Like he can understand all mathematics instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And it ruined his life.
Yep.
Because nobody else could relate to that.
Also, who wants that?
And she... For whatever reason, hers doesn't take initially. She just forgets.
Because you would probably go crazy as a child.
Yeah, but then we learn that later in life, at the beginning of this movie,
a bird unlocks it.
A bird unlocks her power that enables her to sort of know everybody's, be in people's minds. But
empathy and an understanding, a mind reading.
Anytime she's in close proximity to somebody, she goes into their mind briefly and she knows everything about them and she understands things and she can just be like, just talk to your dad.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And they go and we learn later that all these people she spoke to, they went and did the thing that she advised and that she's the best.
I liked that they...
Go and have a dance with Cameron Diaz.
Do it.
Have a big swing dance. Put on a big suit.
She's going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The widest suit you have. No, even wider than that. Go and buy an even wider suit.
That's not going to be wide enough for Cameron Diaz.
No.
Yeah. I also like that they gave them two distinct abilities.
Sure.
And those work in tandem.
Mm.
I thought that was interesting that it wasn't.
And neither of them were both lasers. Disintegrator laser beams.
Well, they do have a disintegrator laser stick, I guess. We probably could do that.
Probably, yeah.
Because they've all got magic sticks.
Yeah.
that can do some things but not anything.
Because Colin Firth's company has acquired some of the – they've got three of these artifacts. They're like magic sticks, and he uses them exclusively for kind of this remote viewing ability, which he can do sort of under extreme duress. Like it's very painful for him, but clearly – the other two are, you know, they can just, they can use them willy-nilly.
Because they've got magic math and empathy.
Magic math and empathy.
Yeah. And at the end when they're going to the, so they're going to reveal this to the world.
Uh-huh.
They're going to broadcast all this information because they've got all these different files on different thumb drives.
Yeah.
And on the verge of a World War III.
Oh, yes, with North Korea.
Or whatever. And so they release this footage to the world of everything that's happening with Emily Blunt. Explaining everything and where this has come from, and it shows. I really like that footage as well. Like throughout the ages, I thought. Uh-huh. Also comparing that to like the recent War of the Worlds of like.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
God, I mean, but again, it's a very
expensive
thing
movie. About that as well is we never saw if there were such a worldwide release, I'd still be like, what's this an ad
well,
for?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I don't think, and this is where I think. This is why I think Spielberg's understanding.
Coinbase, okay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna buy some Bitcoin.
Exactly, like Spielberg's understanding of. What media is now, and that cycle, and how anything can be fake.
Yeah. Anything can be fake, but not steak.com.
Yeah. And also,
gamble.
And I know, and I love the message of this that the aliens in this, they consider empathy as the greatest evolutionary strength.
Not autism.
Yeah, not autism, which
like
is
in the Predator.
The Predator. Whereas you've got like ghouls like. I don't know, any tech CEO who consider it...
Humanity's a waste of time.
It's a weakness and really what's important is productivity data. And building whatever the fuck.
Mathematics.
Yeah. Mm. And I thought that was a really interesting message, but also like after this, it's like, I don't know, everyone has to go to work.
You know? Maybe not though.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe not.
Maybe the president maybe will not. Declare... Maybe the Prime Minister of Australia would declare a national holiday.
Just one day.
Also, I was a little bit disappointed. There was no Australian newsreader that we knew.
Peter Overton. You can't give us a Peter Overton or a Peter Hitchner?
You can't give us
Carl Stefanovic?
Brian Toldby, what was that guy's
Brian
name?
Brian died in a bushfire.
Doesn't matter, not important. Bring
it is
back.
Important, it was very sad.
Okay, Brian Toldby.
Brian Naylor,
there we go.
They should have
been Carl Stefanovic.
I said him already. He's got a podcast.
Grant Denyer.
Carl Stefanovic has a podcast where he talks to awful people.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that element of it, but also they do wheel out a fucking alien.
They do. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was more long-limbed than the other aliens.
Well, what I assume. Okay, this is what I was speaking to my friend about, and he says they're supposed to be like different castes, and the little grey ones. They're more like, they're like piloted.
They're the A-list. They're the different casts.
Yeah. So they're like, they come out and they're being piloted remotely.
Okay, right.
And whatever. And whereas like that guy, I'm getting this wrong.
He's
probably.
A leader class of some sort?
Yeah. Well, he's a real one. He's an OG.
I like to think we're real ones.
And he's probably from a planet where he either lives underwater or there's...
Oh, he's a Gungan.
Or there's lower gravity.
Okay.
Which is why he's got the big head and
spindle. Okay.
Like he's not built for its gravity.
So and he we learn over the course of the movie, he is sort of a creature
been
that's
captured.
He's been captured and experimented on,
oh
and he's not a fan
God,
of it.
This
but Coleman Domingo rescued him.
Yes.
Or let him escape.
I was like, if they unzip this thing and fucking Richard Dreyfuss is in there.
Or E.T.
I'm going to
I genuinely thought, because there's a silhouette. He had an E.T.-esque silhouette.
Yeah.
That would have blown people's minds if it was
if
E.T.
this is an E.T. sequel.
Yeah.
I think it would have undercut everything
Oh,
else.
Absolutely it would have, yeah.
I'm glad they didn't
but
do that.
But it would have crossed somebody's mind. Spielberg would have gone into meetings and people would have said,
"What if
we've read
was...
the script and it's great and we love it. Don't change anything, but what if it was E.T.? What if it was E.T.?
Yeah.
Phone home, Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, you know? Think about it.
Yeah.
We could all make bank.
Had some Reese's Pieces the other day. I didn't like them.
They're not that good?
No, they're all got an oiliness about
They could have
them.
Made them worse over the years. Which
Maybe,
everybody
yeah.
Because there's an oiliness to chocolate now. They're less cocoa, more sugar and whatever.
Oil.
Oil.
More oils.
Essentially, essential oils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Cadbury's slogan now, more oils.
More oils,
to
please.
To slip down your throat.
to slide around in your tum.
The chocolate that's like raw oysters.
Oh, yeah.
Cadbury.
How oily do you want your tum to be?
We'll make it oilier. We'll make it too oily for you.
Yeah, so I did think it was going to be something like that.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: did some of the alien spaceships, because we've sort of got a variety of them.
Yeah.
I think some did look like the Close Encounters spaceship.
Yeah, I think there was definitely nods to that, but yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen Close Encounters in years.
Mm.
And again, at the end of that, Richard Dreyfuss gets on the ship, so I'm like, they're peddling out Richard Dreyfuss. This is going to happen. This is
but it's Richard Dreyfuss from Jaws.
Yeah. Yeah. I got bit.
We're going to need a bigger spaceship. For all this empathy we're dragging around. You know?
We're going to be dropping off this empathy all over the world.
Yeah,
but again...
I know that wasn't my line, but I learned empathy from Roy Scheider, so... So I've, you know.
Ever heard of him?
Mm. He was in Sequest DSV. And they met aliens.
They did meet aliens all the time in that.
Mm.
Mark Hamill was one of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I got some reviews here. It's from Daryl. Says, it was all right. Not Spielberg's best, but still pretty entertaining. I felt a bit like he had decided he wanted to make a remake Close Encounters, but a bit sad in modern times with similar world events to now. I did enjoy Emily Blunt's performance a lot, and there's some unexpected but humorous slapstick comedy. Michael
Tintin.
What about him?
Also a Spielberg movie.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Michael says, I really like this, and I've never seen it actually, and I'm a bit of a weird alien nut, to be honest, but the conversation in this movie felt as real as you could possibly make it, and I feel like it will trigger some really fun conversations with friends. Well, that's true. Me and my mate who saw, we had some really interesting conversations about this movie and just humanity in general after.
Oh, all right.
Were
you eating Red Rooster?
No, we weren't.
Interesting.
Do you think we could have been there?
You could have been eating Red Rooster.
Oh, we had an oily tummy from all my chocolate.
Okay.
Reese's Oily Pieces, I think I ate.
That's what they call them.
Which I think is just the regular one now.
Yeah. Or you can get extra oily.
Tarbo says, an alien movie is so surprisingly realistic, raw, and unexpectedly appreciated. That is my review of Dark Skies.
Ooh.
Whoa, Disclosure Day is an alien movie too, indeed. Whoa, got him. And Dan says, I love this movie a lot. There are some real dumb bits, like Wardex agent simply not seeing old mate. But aside from that, this is incredibly realistic for a sci-fi plot. Extremely tense for a lot of the movie until the big finale becomes quietly peaceful. So much Close Encounters about it, but that makes sense, I guess. Loved it. Would watch again. Cool.
All right then, good.
It's
good and great.
Again, it's nice to see a movie from someone like who's been doing it for so long who can just get something like this through as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's not Ready Player One.
It's not Ready Player One. It's not entirely IP-based.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Yeah. Well, I guess the IP is Steven Spielberg.
And Aliens.
Yeah.
Greys and whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
What are we going to talk about now, though?
We're going to talk about what we're reading and what we're going to read.
I'm going to talk about a video game. Is that all right?
That's fine, actually.
All right, but the theme song has to go first.
Okay.
I'm doing the theme. Okay.
All right.
Things we've been watching.
Settle
reading,
down, everyone. It's your own time you're wasting.
Doing, listening, correct?
Doing. Went for a walk the other day. It was good.
How was it?
Really?
I got a bushwalk coming up on the weekend in my bushwalk.
Evidently,
crew.
You do. Yeah.
I'm not going.
No.
It's at 7 a.m. on a Sunday.
I mean, you could.
No, I couldn't.
Obviously, if this is a setup to have you killed,
is it?
Then we've got all the evidence right here.
That's true.
Right. We've got all that you've mentioned it here.
And then I can kill one of them and then be like, they were setting me up.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
Let's do it.
Let's do
both
it.
Both of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, just quickly, we had the at bigsandwich.co or patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. The bonus thing this week is a time crapsule.
Oh, yes.
On the year 1920. But of course, last week also we got this covered on Disney Crime.
That's
there's
right.
A video that Maisie put together. That's episode 78.
Terrific.
Week before that, there's a movie commentary on E.T. Week before that, Sarabi edited a Spider-Man Life Story video.
That's terrific.
Which is cool.
And I love Disney Crime.
Me too.
As long as it's whimsical and not weird.
It's both.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out if you are interested, but also you do not have to. Mason.
Yes.
I know what I'm going to talk about for what I've been reading.
Well, I know what I'm going to talk about. First of all, I watched a movie that came out last year that I was wanting to track down.
The Mask.
No, I've seen that numerous times.
And it didn't even come out last year.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Maybe a 4K or something like that.
That'd be great.
Bonus dances with Cameron Diaz.
More dances than ever.
Dances. I watched the movie Americana. Did you see the trailers for this?
Oh.
Sydney Sweeney, Paul Walter Hauser, Halsey's in it. The late Eric Dane is in it. Simon Rex is in it. It's a sort of a, it's a, like a.
2023?
Yeah, well, it was made in 2023, didn't get a full release until 2025. But it's sort of an interesting kind of Wild West but modern day, like a neo-Western crime film. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Let's go Toby Huss. I like Toby Huss.
It was directed by Tony Tost, who I don't really know anything about, but he was the showrunner of the second season of Poker Face, which also has Simon Rex in it, which makes sense. But I thought it was a lot of fun. It's sort of, you know, it's a little bit Pulp Fiction. There's like three different threads sort of interwoven together. I thought it was pretty good. I should have gotten more play than it did, I think.
But it didn't, is what you're telling me.
It did not, correct.
Yeah, good cast.
Yeah, it is good cast. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is it on Netflix or something?
It was on something in Australia. It was definitely on something. Maybe.
Let me check. I can do that for you.
If you could do that. I also started reading, I'm behind on it, but I'm reading Marvel's Immortal Thor, written by Al Ewing and various artists, and it's, you know, and it's sort of the last few years was kind of the ongoing Thor storyline, which I've been enjoying because there is a, I say new but relatively new, ongoing called Mortal Thor, where Thor has something has happened, and I don't know what, but I jumped ahead to the first issue just to find out, but he's Thor no longer exists. He's still considered a myth. All of Thor's great deeds have now been attributed to Beta Ray Bill.
Is there some kind of universe changing?
We don't know, but the man, there is a man, and he's like a Norwegian immigrant to America, and he doesn't remember much of his past, and he just lives in an apartment in New York, and he feels compelled to right wrongs, and he doesn't know why.
Has he got magic abilities?
No, not so far.
Has he got a hammer?
Yes.
Is it real or is it just like a big hammer?
It's a big hammer.
All right, okay.
And it's sort of he's right and wrongs. He's butting up against Roxxon again because they're doing some strike breaking stuff and he's not having it.
This is like when Superman wore a T-shirt recently and
ran
around.
It is a bit like that. By recently, you mean 15 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just like that thing that happened recently, 15 years ago.
Exactly.
Excellent.
It is excellent.
Well, I've been playing a new-ish video game.
Is it 007 First Line?
It is, Mason. I went to buy it last week.
Yes.
And no one had it. They're
what?
Like, we don't have copies of that.
Could you consider downloading it off internet?
I don't like doing that. What I like to do is buy the disc
and then download it off the internet and also
the internet. It takes an hour. And also, everything on your screen is an ad for an upcoming thing or a PlayStation Plus or, oh, you haven't connected properly online or why don't you look at this QR code for whatever. The whole screen is just fucking junk.
It's like your TV has become a fandom wiki.
It has become a fandom wiki.
Mm.
Videos that automatically play probably.
Yes.
Things constantly downloading.
Anytime you try to click on anything, you go one pixel in the wrong direction. You've clicked an ad instead.
Yeah, it's
good.
And it
closes the window and open up an ad window.
Yep, you open up a game and it's like, do you want to play online with it? Do you want this to, you know, do you want this to be connected to the internet? Not really. Well, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
I started it and it hadn't downloaded properly apparently by the time I started. So I'd go through the first segment of the game, which is like, this is before you're a 007.
Uh-huh.
And then it does the theme
00
song.
Nothing.
Yeah, it goes the theme song. And then it would go, oh, it hasn't finished downloading the content. And then it would stop. And then it would load back to the start of that and play the song again. And that happened like 5 times. And I was like,
song,
I hate this fucking song.
Oh, no.
So much.
But it's
now.
A good song.
It's all right. I don't remember it.
Okay. How's Patrick Gibson as New Bond?
He's great.
Yeah.
Okay, that being said, I like him as New Bond. It's a fun game. The gadgets are cool. It's like a Hitman kind of light, people have compared it to.
Because, uh-huh.
you know, often at the start of the level, you might go to a party or you'll be at a pirate island or whatever. Mm. And you've got to walk around and talk to people, and there's different ways to get about. You can lie your way in or kill everybody or use different gadgets. Like you've got a phone that shoots a dart, which makes a person vomit.
And it's a landline phone.
It's a landline
phone.
You're
carrying
it around. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's one of those ones you set down on a table and it sort of goes tring.
Yes.
Because it's all mechanical parts.
There's new characters.
Mm-hmm.
And often they'll take the what they look like as well.
Uh-huh.
So
are you Lenny James?
Lenny James is John Greenway in it.
Because he's the previous.
He's like
a previous
00 who's like training the new batch of 00s, and he's like a really great character to put in. I'm maybe halfway through. There's some car stuff. I haven't done a lot of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They've only done maybe one proper car segment.
Uh-huh.
There's an amazing moment where you get onto a plane and you can use your watch to like tip the plane while you're inside it. And so bad guys are like just sliding back and forth in there.
And 009, he's decided to dress as the BAFTA award.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All in all, I really like it. I think it's in terms of like a story, it kind of changes multiple times. You think it might be like an AI nuclear arms race kind of thing, and then it becomes something else, and then it's like, oh, it's rogue agents, and then it might, and then it just kind of, because it's like 15 hours or whatever it is, it kind of pivots multiple times throughout.
Interesting, okay.
But it is really solid core mechanics.
Do
it's
you feel
fun.
Like James Bond?
In real life, no.
What about in the game?
A little bit sometimes, yeah.
Oh, very exciting.
And also you can be in a fist fight, but you can be overwhelmed. Like you can't just, it's the same with the shooting. It's not just run and gun. You've got to think about it.
Let me ask you this. Who would win a fight between James Bond and Agent 47?
Agent 47.
I don't think he would.
You don't reckon?
Because who's he fighting really?
Yeah, well, that's true. He's not really, he doesn't fist fight in the same way that James Bond does. Yeah.
Like how many evil versions of himself is he fighting, is he fought over his career?
True.
He's mostly just dropping pianos on socialites.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is fun.
Whereas Bond, you know, he's leaving a trail of rogue double O's behind him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he's better at killing.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
But Patrick Gibson's a really good James Bond. I think the idea that they would make this independently of the movies, and also there's so many nods to like the movies, or like he's got the scar, like
he does,
facial scar. There's
which has always been absent from the movies. Yeah.
Yes, that's
I think
right.
It's interesting that they've gone from, you know, people on the internet have gone from very skeptical to a lot of people saying he should be the new Bond, which he won't be, obviously, because
no.
they're, you know, it's Denis Villeneuve was going in a different track completely.
Yeah.
But I think that's a testament to the work of the game, that people are like, yeah, he is good.
I don't think he should be.
Yeah.
I think because then I think that would...
Because he's white, you were saying to me.
Because he's white. That's what I don't like about it. But I think also the fact that he can be the video game version of James Bond and this can exist in its own world, like the Spider-Man games or whatever they're doing with Wolverine. Mm. That is what I like about this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being in a really good AAA
nothing wrong
video
with that.
Game, you know? And like because he will be remembered as a great James Bond.
Yeah.
Like because of this. Mm. Yeah.
Also, we don't necessarily know what like his physicality is in real life.
I was just looking up, he's about 5'10", so he's probably a little bit shorter than maybe, but Daniel Craig's not that tall.
I also mean he's probably a good voice actor and you know,
face actor.
But we don't know, can he do stunts? Can he do et cetera? You know?
I would say so. I mean, he was Little Dexter, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
he was always doing stunts.
Yeah. But this is a good, this is a great game. And also there is definitely times in it where you can kind of see the mechanics and like the way a level will start is that, oh, you got to infiltrate a party. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can talk to people here. Oh, this is a sneaking room. So now you got to use your sneaking. Oh, this is a fighting section or it becomes a fighting. So you can kind of, you see the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
Like, but it's.
Do you feel like you're in a movie?
Sometimes, yeah. And it's,
but what about in the game?
There's also like at the start while you're doing your 007 training, there's a playable montage where every like 20 to 30 seconds, it'll cut to like a new thing you have to just.
That's fun.
But it's like, oh, I just got to do 10 push-ups.
Okay.
Oh, I just got to quickly drive this car.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I just got to fist fight this guy. And it just changes every.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's good. You should spend $1,400, which is what it costs for a PlayStation 5 Pro to play this game.
I guess I'll do that.
Or you can watch me play it for 10 minutes and go, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I can just watch a Let's Play on YouTube.
True.
And I can do that for free.
You can watch me play it.
I'm not
That'd be
that.
Better. That'd be better for me.
No commentary.
It's good to have an audience.
No commentary.
From you.
From any of us.
Okay. Should we do a next segment?
It's time for letters.
All right, man.
Here it is.
Okay.
You love letters.
I love letters.
Yeah.
Have we got any Quickstifer's questions this week?
I don't think Quickstifer emailed in.
What?
Yeah.
That's our new segment, Quickstifer's questions.
Yeah. He said he was going to, but then he didn't.
He said he was going to?
No, he didn't. So we assumed.
I assume Quickstifer hasn't even heard last week's episode.
Maybe he's behind, yeah.
If somebody knows Quickstifer, can you please contact him and let him know that he is lagging behind on his segment and he has to make up for it next week by doing 4 questions?
I cannot see Quickstifer here at all. Here's an email from Aslan.
Are you spelling it right? It's Quickstopher.
Do I look like a guy who's spelling it wrong? No.
If you do want to reach the show, just quickly, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or go into the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates groups. There is a list.
There it is. Here's an email from Aslan. Hello, my name is Aslan, like from Narnia.
Oh, no.
They're not from Narnia, though.
But I said some Narnia
shit. I know
shit
you hate Narnia.
Week.
Yeah, yeah.
It sucks.
I'm a long-time listener from Mississippi. Started listening to you in my freshman year in high school. Recently
nice.
Just graduated from law school.
Congratulations on being a law.
The last few months have had great shows with great theme songs. I'm thinking about Daredevil, Born Again, and Spider Noir. What are some of the best theme songs in recent years you cannot skip?
Oh, my.
I will never skip an opening sequence.
A Peacemaker?
Yes, terrific.
They're made to not skip, right?
Yeah, but I don't think you should skip. I think the TV watching experience.
It's part of it?
It's part of it. Skip the end title, sure.
skip to the next episode.
Skip to the end titles because what? It's just a list of people who were instrumental in making the show. Get out of here. I don't care.
I think sometimes they feel a little self-indulgent. And I don't need to see something slowly crumble or whatever.
You're talking about Every Daredevil.
Every Daredevil, not even that specifically, but I'd like a short, snappy one. I'll do a Scrubs. Ba-pow.
Breaking Bad.
Yep.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah. Bow. Stuff like that.
Famously, and you haven't seen this, but The Wire, every season, it was the same song. A song called Way Down in the Hole.
Yeah.
But by a different musician every time. There's a Tom Waits version. There was a Blind Boys of Alabama version. There was other versions.
Didn't they get worse as they went as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Increasingly worse?
No, they were all good.
I heard they were bad.
All right then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll never skip the Becca theme song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have it ready to go? Is that what is that the joke you're doing
here? Did you have it ready to go?
Well, how would I have it ready to go? I mean, I always do have it ready
to go. That's what I meant. The one time I bring it up.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's okay to skip. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll be like, well, this is a good opportunity for me to be on my phone for 30 seconds.
Yep, absolutely.
I love that about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What's next, though? I know. This is from Sarah, who says, I stopped watching Marvel movies after Endgame. Which or what ones do you think are necessary to catch up before seeing Doomsday? I would say none of it.
I think there'll be enough context.
They're going to make this for people like you.
Yeah, I think maybe we talked about this last week or in something else recently. The first Avengers movie you could watch without any context.
Yeah.
And I know there's been 400 characters introduced since then, but I think there's going to be enough. Do you know who Spider-Man is? That's enough.
I think you're going to go in, or they're going to let everybody know that, like, oh, Steve Rogers is back.
Captain America, what are you doing here? I thought you retired back in time. Well, now I'm back, baby.
Yeah. Iron Man, you died. Yeah, now I'm Doctor Doom, though.
That's right.
It's going to be like that.
Yeah.
So I think there will be, like...
Black Panther? Why are you Ryan Gosling now? Because I'm White Panther. I came back as White Panther.
Yeah. This is what people wanted, I think, maybe. Right. This is what the internet was saying. Yeah. What if there was a White Panther?
My agent got me this. I don't know what's going on. Well, I wasn't aware there was a Black Panther, honestly. I'm Ryan Gosling. I don't watch Marvel movies.
So, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it. Maybe, I was going to say Spider-Man No Way Home, but not really.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just if there's anything that interests you, I think anything that you think might be interesting, watch that. But I wouldn't say don't do any homework on this if you don't want to.
Mm.
And that's okay. Would you agree?
Yes.
Because, again, they're saying this is like phase zero. This isn't going to rely on things of the past. Not true it is, but it's going to rely on the things of the past that people remember.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though there will be nods to, like, other
things. Even things that suck ass.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's an email from Nick.
Nick!
Norris!
Norris!
Please, I need you guys to cover this. How do you think this could have possibly happened? I genuinely have no idea. And it's the official DC shop has removed a piece of Supergirl movie artwork that featured the obscure Star Wars character Lexo Suga.
Yep.
So this is a piece of art from the artist who did Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Her name is?
Bilquis
Everly. That's right. Thank you. But this is new art. So this is new art based on the movie stuff. What I think probably happened here is somebody did a mock-up of something. Like, I don't think she is plagiarizing.
No.
I think what happened here probably is they were like, and there's going to be aliens.
Yeah.
And they just put a bunch of stuff in the background and were like, can you do your... Here's the mock-up.
Here's some of the stuff.
And there is a character, I believe, in one of the trailers that does look a bit similar.
Okay.
So I think probably somebody went... I think the way some of these happen is somebody goes, hey, can you draw this person? And they don't know, so they Google it. Or the person sending in the artwork Googles it, and it's the first image result is from a Reddit thread that's like, hey, doesn't this character look like this character?
Yeah, okay.
And they just catch the first image. And they go, okay, well, this is the character we want. Let's put it in. And then they've...
I feel like there was a comment about this, but maybe there hasn't been.
Like an official DC comment.
Or even from Bilquis.
Oh, okay, right. I'm not sure.
Everly, yeah.
Okay.
I just know it's been removed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because she's drawn them here in the style of how they look in the movies.
Yeah, it is, but it is like, without question, that is the image. Like
it's cream in the background. Supervillain cream. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fine. Star Wars steals.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We all steal.
Yeah. Great artists steal.
That's right.
And that's what we are.
AI.
Yeah.
Graham says, what fandoms do you not understand? Not even the lore, just the idea that anyone could like it. Sure. Okay, I can do some of these.
All right, I'm ready.
Whatever's left of the Snyderverse. And it's not even so much that you're a fan of that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just the vitriol and the idea that you tear everything else down because Henry Cavill can't be Superman anymore.
Also, yeah, and maybe they are supporting all the other projects that these creators are doing, like Snyder and Cavill, but there's not enough to move the needle there.
Yeah.
But I don't think they are also.
No, I don't think they are. I think it's also celebrity worship I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, tearing down celebrities also like that.
Yeah.
Anything royal watching, I fucking hate that.
That's crazy, yeah.
Following a band around and seeing them everywhere. I don't get that.
We've had a discussion about this, and it's like, some people who are like, okay,
I love the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, or like some people are like, okay, me and my wife, every year we go on a holiday to some nice place, like we go to Italy or something like that.
Must be nice.
And we've coordinated it so my favorite band also happens to be playing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, but there are people who do like, the band is on tour and they've got 15 dates and the person will see every show. And it's like, okay, good.
All right, man.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's how you want to spend your money?
I think it's just, and also like, it's not so much fandoms, because I think there's good and bad within all fandoms. We've seen that. But it's just, any toxic form of that, or making it like your entire identity. And like any attack on that or any variation of that, or any that you see it as a personal slight against you, I don't understand.
Now, you're a part of the Grey Henley fandom.
That's right.
So if I were to say...
Don't. Just don't.
Just don't say anything about
it. This is my entire identity.
It's true, yeah.
And this one's slightly too tight. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I've got it. This is a small. It was a mistake. I've got a medium that fits me better.
How do you feel about the split in the fandom? Some people like a smooth jersey fabric, and some people like a waffle.
A waffle's fine. I'm doing both, Mason.
Wow. Okay. So you're bridging that gap there.
I like to think I'm bringing people together. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought so too.
Yeah. I like to think so. I like to think I'm mending bridges. I like to think that I'm curing broken hearts.
Absolutely.
Do you like to think that I'm doing that?
Yes, I like to think you're doing that. Here's one of my emails from Callie.
Callie?
This is interesting to me. Best and worst movie tie-in foods. Hi, James and Mason.
Hi.
I recently picked up a box of those Mandalorian versus Groglet Nilla wafers on a grocery store run.
I don't know what that is.
That's the thing.
How do you spell that?
Nilla, N-I-L-L-A. I'm going to list... This email is going to list a bunch of stuff we've never heard of.
Yeah.
They're just regular wafers colored blue. I'm guessing they're like those...
Yeah, the biscuit. Yeah, I know what these are. Yeah.
Sometimes you get something elaborate in terms of movie and TV tie-in foods on theme and that actually tastes good, like the Ecto Cooler. Again, we never had that.
Don't know what that is.
But they were big.
Is it a drink?
It's a big Ghostbusters theme. It's been going for years.
Yeah, but is it a drink?
I think it's a drink. Or the Ramyeon fries from the recent K-pop Demon Hunters McDonald's meal. Other times you get something that's functional but not really worth the hype, like that Wendy's Krabby Patty. Again, we don't have
I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Or the aforementioned Mando cookies. In your experience, what are the best and worst movie TV tie-in foods that you've ever had? They don't do it a lot in Australia.
It's not really here. Or if it is, it's at the specialty store.
Or it's almost in Hungry Jack's, which is the Australian equivalent of Burger King.
We call it HJ's.
That's true. We do. Hey, let's get a HJ's.
Yeah.
Let's go down the road. Let's get all the boys together. After we've done that bush walk, we'll go down the street and get an HJ.
Absolutely.
An HJ's for everybody.
A sweaty HJ for all of us.
That's exactly what we say.
That's
right. Extra sauce, we say. But Hungry Jack's, they would just do Whoppers with different colored sauces.
The burger will be black. The bun will be black,
For the Hulk, they did the Angry Whopper, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
And they've done just a bunch of other... And it's just a different color sauce that's the same.
And then they got the Angry Whopper. Now only don't get turned into the Hulk, though, if you eat it. I won't.
You know, it'll calm you down, an HJ. That'll calm you right down.
Get your mates.
Get your mates down here.
Get them in here. There's room for all of you.
That's right.
We could give you a private booth.
Group rates, discount.
You can pull a little curtain across if you want.
And we've got a jukebox.
That's right. Or used to.
We don't really
do that anymore.
No.
I was talking to this with my brother the other day, the one you do like.
Yeah, nice.
It's just like McDonald's, less Hungry Jack's, but McDonald's is so awful and generic and all the restaurants are the same and you got to talk to the computer screen and then it doesn't print off your order, like the ticket number, and then you're like, I don't know when my order's coming. And there's like, they're understaffed and they're all teenagers who are getting underpaid, so they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even get a tray anymore. They just throw you a bag of wet food.
Uh-huh.
Like, and it's smaller than it's ever been.
Uh-huh.
It's that insidification thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what my point is.
But sometimes it just hits right.
Sometimes
I mean?
It is right. But yeah. I would say, and look, I barely go. But my kids don't even like it. They're like, fuck, McDonald's is terrible.
Yeah.
Which is like,
when they're not even paying for it.
They don't even care. Yeah. Like when I was a kid, it's like,
It's now a roll of the dice. Like if you get nuggets, Maybe it's your lucky day and you get good nuggets. But if you bought 20 nuggets,
you talked about this the other day. You had a nugget experience.
The other day, I was like, I'm gonna get. A while back, I got 6 nuggets, and I'm like, these are really good nuggets. This is so good.
What if I had more than 6?
And then a couple of weeks later, I'm like, I'm gonna get 20 nuggets.
Dude,
I haven't eaten all day. I'm gonna get 20 nuggets, and they were 20 bad nuggets.
You ate all 20.
I had to eat all 20 bad nuggets on a train platform.
I feel like you got to 12. And from then on up, they could have been good and you wouldn't have known.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Australia doesn't have any of these novelties.
No, what I got went on a tangent.
It'll always, or it'll be like Doritos.
I went on a tangent.
It'll just be the bag with
Groglets
on the bag or whatever, but it's the same.
Look, it's Groglet Doritos.
Groglet would eat these.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know he would because he's a garbage scow. He's just a little trash compactor. He'd eat anything.
Sometimes,
he's yuck.
Sometimes they'll put it on like fruit.
Yes.
They'll be like, right. Oh, look, it's apples, but it's Shrek, whatever. Mm. Okay. Shrek eat apples?
Yeah, probably would.
He'd
roll them in mud and then he'd eat them.
Then he'd probably eat them.
He'd roll them in mud and grubs and then he'd eat an apple.
Yeah. Great. But no.
No.
You know what? There's a lot of bluey themed food.
Is there?
Yeah. And every now and then.
Again, is it just labeled?
Sometimes, but like, because, you know, my kids like bluey, my daughter in particular, like, can we get that bluey whatever? And I'm like, every time we do this, you don't like it.
Right.
And she's like, this one. And then I get it. And she's like, I don't like these. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
And now I've wasted a bunch of money. And that's coming out of your salary.
That's right.
When you get your first job.
Or I'm going to talk about me?
Yeah. Or I'll take it from the Tooth Fairy. Mm. This one's from Brock, who says, how far in advance is Caravan of Garbage planned? Do you plan it the whole year at once? First thing I do, I list everything that's coming out during the year and the dates and when it's coming out, which obviously change, which is like movies and TV shows and sometimes video games. And then I'll see what fits in there, but that's subject to change. And there are gaps, like there's still gaps for the rest of the year that need to be filled out. But I have I would say 60 to 70% of that filled out at the start of the year.
Okay.
But it changes a lot.
Yeah.
So that's probably the
And yes, we are sometimes watching the thing, you know, the afternoon of.
Yeah, I normally don't. Sometimes you do, but I need at least probably 2 or 3 days to kind of do it and then sort my notes and then watch behind the scenes and everything else.
Interesting how you do that.
Yeah.
Interesting that your work ethic exists and mine does not. It's very interesting.
I thought you were going to say because it doesn't seem like it does because my output is not great.
No, I would say.
I'll put two or three days into something.
What I would say is if the choice was two people with your work ethic or two people with my work ethic, it would be the first one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think it I don't think we both need the same work ethic, whether that be mine or yours.
Correct.
I think the point is that it works.
Mostly.
Sometimes you're watching an episode of Smallville on the train over or whatever.
That's right, and then it's fresh.
It's fresh and hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you normally go, well, I've got one note, and then you'll have it.
That's right.
And it's perfect.
It's perfect. No notes on my notes.
I think that's it from me.
That's it from me also.
Yeah.
That's the show, folks. Thank you so much for listening. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast because that is how we get new listeners, I think. And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. You do so, James will find it. He'll find it on the dark web and he'll read it out right now.
I found these two. This is from Flash Hoob from the USA. He says, my best friends. James and Mesa are my best friends. I don't know I exist, but after listening for nearly a decade now, a bit of Stockholm syndrome has set in for me. Oh, yeah, because we kidnapped this person also.
We did do that, yeah.
Anyways, 5 stars, mate. And this one's from Dead.
Sounded like a threatening mate, which you can do.
It is.
Yeah.
This is from Dead Metal Mitchie, also from the USA. He says, the two biggest American weebs in Australia. That's probably true.
Mm, we love those Nilla wafers.
I did Google a bunch of them. And then
we
I'm
just
like,
have vanilla wafers.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, what's the equivalent, Australian equivalent of this? Oh, not those. They're shit. That's what I saw. Love this podcast. Been watching since the animated Batman v Superman leaked script video when I was a kid, and I'm proud Big Sandwich Eater. Tune in every week to listen to these two huge American weebs cursed by a witch to talk about how great the USA is and how our movies are the best. Don't even need a curse. Happy to do it for free. But there is a curse.
Master filmmaker Steven Spielberg.
That's right. Special thanks for Wig Talk, Tram Talk, and Pot the Podcast Dog.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to follow some people on the socials, if you follow our friend Rob Collings, he's at Rob Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He keeps you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet. You can follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia
Brown.
Instagram, Nick Maso, James and Mrs. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you want to support, also you can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group or The Weekly Planet podcast subreddit and Discord, fun civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Sarabi, Maisie, Fidel for moderating those forums. They make videos for the TikTok. They make videos for the Clips channel.
They
make videos for the bonus content. Speaking of, if you go to bigsandwich.co, sign up for $9 per month, you get bonus podcasts, early videos, video
game
let's plays, commentaries, all sorts of stuff. But you can also get that at patreon.com/MrSunnyMovies. If you chuck in a certain amount, you get bonus stuff. All the tiers are right there.
All
the tiers are right here in my eyes.
Are they?
Yes.
Because you're sad.
That's right, because this podcast is nearly over.
Oh.
But if you want a T-shirt, you go to tpublic.com. You search for the Weekly Planet or Weekly Planet posters.
Oh.
1,000 posters. Very soon.
Didn't we bring that up earlier?
We did.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Boot and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. And thank you for this theme also. Here it is. Which is really the official Weekly Planet theme.
It really is. Yeah, this is ours.
And that's it, I think. Next week, In the Grey, but also Toy Story 5.
Both.
Yeah.
Tim Allen's like, don't worry, I'm going to get that home improvement off the ground. I don't think you should. I don't think you should. All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week for In the Grey.